This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
How do you measure success? Chances are productive fields, a happy family, and a secure future are key parts in the equation. And just as you depend on yourself to take care of the family and farm, you can depend on Farm Credit to help you with your finance needs. For 96 years, we've been helping farm families and agribusinesses maintain the formula for success. Our experience has helped us develop a wide range of credit and financial products and services that you can use to keep your farm running more efficiently and profitably. Nobody understands the financial needs of farming better than Farm Credit. Whether it's farm real estate loans, operating lines of credit, equipment financing, or crop insurance, Farm Credit has the products and services to meet the needs of today's farming operations. Call Farm Credit today at 1-800-444-FARM or find us online at fcsillinois.com. Farm Credit, providing the financial products farmers want with the service you deserve.
Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield is your headquarters for Firestone Farm Tires and Service. Taylor Tire, your authorized Firestone Tire dealer, is the place to call for all your Firestone Farm Tire needs. And when you need in-the-field service, the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto are trained, experienced, and they have the equipment to do the job right and on time. So when you need Firestone Farm Tires or in-the-field service, call the folks at Taylor Tire and Auto at the west end of Tyler Avenue in Litchfield.
On the Chicago Board of Trade, Friday, September wheat closed at 870, which was down 13.5. December wheat closed at 889.5, down 13.5. March wheat closed at 899.5, down 11.5. September corn Friday closed at 802.75, down 8.75. December corn closed at 799.75, down 8.75. March corn closed at 802, down 6.75. September soybeans Friday closed at 1764.5, down 5.75. November beans closed at 1756.5, down 7. January beans closed at 1751, down 6.5. September soybean meal Friday closed at 547.10, down a dime. October meal closed at 536.20, down 22. And December meal closed at 533.40, down 19. September soybean oil on Friday closed at 56.42, down 17. October oil closed at 56.65, down 17. December oil closed at 57.08, down 17. September oats on Friday closed at 388.5, down a penny. December oats closed at 397.5. That was down 2.25. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash grain report.
Thank you. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture's Grain Market News Report. The Illinois cut-to-grain prices ended lower on Friday afternoon. Wheat futures weakened after Russian officials announced there would be no wheat export restrictions. Technical trading at the Board of Trade and profit-taking ahead of the long Labor Day holiday weekend also pushed prices lower for corn, soybeans, and wheat. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 6 to 10 cents lower at 7.85 to 8.09, and soybean bids dropped 10 to 18 cents at 17.18 to 17.42. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 9 to 10 cents lower at 7.99 to 8.18. Soybeans dropped by mostly 7 cents at 17.64 to 17.92. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 9 to 10 cents at 8.02 to 8.41. Soybean bids 7 to 14 lower at 17.33 to 17.67. And the wheat bids 13 to 15 lower at 8.50 to 8.65. Illinois River barge loading elevators quoted producer corn bids mixed, ranging from 7.78 to 7.92. Soybeans ended 10 to 13 lower at 17.35 to 17.45, and the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery, they ended steady at 8.17 to 8.18. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 9 to 16 lower at 7.70 to 7.86. These same elevators dropped their soybean prices by 7 to 17 cents, with quotations at 17.53 to 17.57. Soft red winter wheat down 13 cents at 840 to 841, and Milo ended 9 cents lower at 704 to 705. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids range from $7.72 to $8 even, with the new crop soybean bids ranging from $17.18 to $17.34. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from $7.85 to $8.16, the new crop soybean bids at $17.38 to $17.59. In the southern part of the state, new crop corn range from $7.70 to $8.25, new crop soybean bids at $17.35 to $17.58, and the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery, those bids range from $7.99 to $8.28. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange on Friday, October hogs closed at 74.17 down, 74.17 up 2 cents. December hogs closed at 72.40 up 60. February hogs closed at 80.32 up 42. August cattle Friday closed at 118.07 up, down 157. October cattle closed at 126.02 up 52. And December cattle closed at 128.65 up 20 cents. September feeder cattle Friday closed at 144.60 up 130. October feeders closed at 146.67 up 177. November feeders closed at 147.80 up 155. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
This is Joe Massey with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture's closing livestock report for Friday. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Daily Direct Afternoon Hogs, negotiated purchases of bearers and gilts on a carcass basis totaled 4,355 head today. They traded $2.55 lower from 68 to 72.97 with a weighted average of $70.84. And in Illinois today, there was 12,050 head of bearers and gilts sold. The primal cutout value for a hog carcass was down 12 cents today at 81.48. The Illinois Direct Slaughter Sow and Boar Report, sows traded steady with U.S. 1s and 3s under 400 pounds from 32 to 35, 4 to 5 weights from $34 to $38, and over 500 pounds from 37 to 40. Illinois Direct Bears and Gilts traded steady again today from $50 to $54. The estimated daily livestock slaughter under federal inspection for Friday, hogs are at 420,000 on the day. That's the same as last week, but up 7,000 from the same time last year. Cattle are at 122,000 on the day. That's down 2,000 from last week and up 1,000 from last year. The USDA's estimated box beef choice cutout values, there was a total of 107 fabricated loads and 39 trim loads. Choice carcasses were down $1.21 at $1.8962, while selects were down 57 pennies at $1.7946, leaving the choice select spread at $10.16. And at the Walnut Livestock Auction on Thursday, they had 530 head on offer. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers traded steady, while cows, were $1 to $3 lower. Choice steers from $1.1575 to $1.20, while selecting choice cattle were at $1.1075 to $1.1450. Choice Holsteins from $1.05 to $1.09, and choice heifers from $1.15 to $1.1875. In the slaughter cow division, you had breaking type cows from 79 to 84, boning type cows from 77.5 to 83.5, and the lean cows from $69 to $76.
Here are the spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange from Friday. For butter, 184 unchanged. For block cheese, 182 down 3.75. For barrel cheese, 177.75 down 3. And the spot price for Class 3 milk ending Friday, $18.89. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for August, $8.11. For September, $7.95. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for August, $17.24. For September, $17.28. Wheat delivered to Scottville, $8.22. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield or Scottville, $8.11. Beans at Greenfield or Scottville, $17.24. Wheat at Scottville, $8.22. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Labor Day Monday morning. Brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. Color radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area, but there may be some scattered light drizzle around mid-Illinois undetectable on radar at this time. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company.
With the heat and drought of this summer, many lawns need to be overseeded to thicken back up. Give Green Yard Professional Lawn Care by FS a call. They prepare the soil by working and leveling before seeding a new lawn. They can choose from many different grass seed mixtures to fit your needs. For a free estimate, call Tim Rothy at 1-800-962-7331. Green Yard Lawn Care by FS is a service of M&M Service Company. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Becoming partly cloudy today, there is a slight chance of showers in the forecast. High temperatures in the mid-80s with light north winds. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the low 70s. For tomorrow, Tuesday, partly cloudy, a slight chance of showers, high temperatures in the upper 80s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, partly cloudy with a chance of showers Thursday night and Friday. Low temperatures in the low 60s, highs in the low 80s. Over the weekend, WSMI weather watcher Kyle Schmedeke of Irving, an inch of rain, 0.7 inches here at the Weather Center. Right now, light north winds, the barometric pressure is steady. We have cloudy skies, 72 degrees. This check of color radar weather brought to you at this time by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
The Wiley Theater in vibrant downtown Edwardsville is proud to present Johnny Rogers and the Legends of Country Music Show, featuring the music of Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Willie Nelson, Hank Williams, Buddy Holly, George Jones, and Merle Haggard. Folks, you'll never hear a collaboration of music legends like this anywhere from one man. To purchase tickets, go to WileyTheater.com or call 618-307-1750. Johnny Rogers and the Legends of Country Music Show at the Wiley Theater.
On September 15th.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Labor Day Monday morning, brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield. In our farm news today, our guest on the Saturday Farm Show was Holly Steinmeier of White City. Holly and her husband John are involved with the Thoroughbreds Helping Thoroughbreds program, and she explains.
It's a loosely formed organization of people who either own thoroughbreds or just really care about them, and our goal is to help them transition from being racehorses to having after-racing homes. So we've had one horse show and we're going to have another one. It's restricted just to thoroughbreds, and we have really good prizes so that way they compete against other thoroughbreds. We've also sponsored High Point Thoroughbred Awards at local shows, and some of the local shows are having thoroughbred-restricted classes.
These thoroughbreds that you're involved with, do they need, what's the word I'm looking for, training to help them in a more non-competitive setting?
They do, because at the racetrack, they are fed a lot of grain, and they are expected to go out and run pretty darn fast. So it's a big difference in their atmosphere. And a lot of times when you take a horse off the racetrack, it's a good idea to give them, 1 to 6 months off just to learn how to be a horse again. And then a lot of them transition to it beautifully, and then others require someone that kind of knows what they're doing, because it's a different training atmosphere and everything from the racetrack to the show ring or the trail horse or whatever. The thoroughbreds can do anything anybody would want a horse to do.
Are you and your husband John involved in that training?
As a matter of fact, we are. We currently own 21 thoroughbreds, and we kind of do the whole thing. We have brood mares, so we'll have hopefully 4 foals next spring, and we do the groundwork with them. Now that we're a little older, we send them off to someone else for the initial saddle starting, but then we get them back and we train them here on our farm. Then, and every horse we own is a thoroughbred, and the goal is for them to be racehorses. Some of them don't want to, some of them don't have the talent, but that's where we point them. But along the way, we teach them to ride in the arena. We even teach most of them to jump. So that way, when they're finished racing, it's pretty easy to point them in their new direction.
And that was our Saturday Farm Show guest, Holly Steinmeier. Rita Frazier of the Illinois Farm Bureau recently talked to a Staunton FFA alum about an event this weekend to benefit the chapter.
I'm Rita Frazier reporting agriculture news here on WSMI. We get to talk to Roger Dussman. Roger, of course, with the Friends for Ag Alumni, the Staunton FFA Alumni Association. And Roger is still in charge of that annual tractor ride. The dates this year, Roger, September the 8th. I'm sure you're very excited.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We're going to try and get 100 tractors this year. We've been awful close before. We've had in the 90s, but this year we're going to try for 100. And that's our big goal. We've got a really good tractor ride mapped out this year. We're going to Brighton, and it's going to be probably one of the most scenic rides we've ever been on.
Take us through. Tell us about the route.
Well, we'll be leaving Prairie Town. Sign in is from 7 to 8 o'clock, and we need to leave promptly at 8 o'clock because we've got a fairly long ride, but it is doable. We're going to take a very scenic route past Jardine's Dairy Farm and a couple other places, and we're stopping Woodburn briefly for a little break, and then we'll go on to Brighton, and we're going to have lunch catered in this year. Then we're going to have a 50-50 drawing and head back for home and take a different way home. You'll see a bunch of nice houses and just have a very enjoyable day. So if you got an old tractor that Dad used to have or Grandpa had, or you can remember that tractor, and you're welcome to come. We'd love to have you.
How many tractors did you say you're expecting this year?
We're going to try for 100. We've been, like I said, we've been awful close before. We've been in the 90s, but we haven't quite hit that 100 mark yet, so we're going to try for 100 this year.
Well, I hope you get it, because the one thing that, you know, some folks overlook with these rides, it is an education about ag history, and we don't look at it sometimes like that, but that's what it is.
Right, right. You got to remember, years ago, there was a lot more smaller farms, but a lot more farms, and I know a lot of people, a lot of guys my age grew up on a farm just because there was a lot of them. And I'm sure that they can remember helping Grandpa out on the farm, and maybe Dad didn't farm, but maybe Dad did, and maybe he had a tractor or Uncle had a tractor or something. And I know that's with me on both sides of my family. Everybody farms, so it's in me pretty deep. You know how that goes.
Roger, if folks want more information about your Friends for Ag Alumni tractor ride, how do they get a hold of you?
They can get a hold of me on my cell phone at 618-409-9377 or on the home phone number at 618-585-3287. And like I say, we're going to leave promptly at 8 o'clock, so we got plenty of room for parking in Prairie Town with trailers and stuff. So come on ahead, and we'll be waiting for you.
Roger Dussman with the Staunton FFA Friends for Ag Alumni, and that will do it for this report. For WSMI, I'm Rita Frazier.
Thank you, Rita. In other farm news this morning, after a summer of extreme high temperatures across Illinois, the state climatologist says things finally headed back toward normal in August. Climatologist Jim Angel says the statewide average temperature in August was just slightly below normal at 73.5 degrees. The average for all of June through August was 76.1 degrees. That's 2.6 degrees above normal, making this summer the eighth warmest on record. The state also had more typical rainfall in August. Angel said the average precipitation total for the month was 3.4 inches. That's just 5% below normal and comes in the middle of a lengthy drought. Just over half of the 6.6 inches of rain the state averaged from June through August fell last month. But Angel noted virtually the entire state remains in some stage of drought. Farmland values in the state are rising, but not as fast as last year. A survey by the Illinois Society of Professional Farm Managers and Rural Appraisers shows that overall land values jumped by 5% during the first half of this year. In 2011, farmland prices increased about 20% on average. Pumpkin Day is just around the corner, and Illinois pumpkin growers are encouraged to come out. It will be held on Thursday at the University of Illinois Vegetable Crops Research Farm in Champaign. Participants will have the opportunity to attend several presentations, including those discussing varieties, production systems, herbicides, and weed control. Registration is free and lunch provided. For more information or directions, you can phone 217-333-1523 or go to specialtygrowers.org and click on the Illinois Vegetable Growers Association page. in our farm news as well on this Monday. Why is the first Monday in September a holiday? Todd Gleason has this history of Labor Day in the United States, adapted from a story found on the United States Embassy to Sweden's website.
11-year-old Peter McGuire sold papers on the streets in New York City. He shined shoes and cleaned stores and later ran errands. It was 1863, and his father, a poor Irish immigrant, had just enlisted to fight in the Civil War. Peter had to help support his mother and six brothers and sisters. Many immigrants settled in New York City in the 19th century. They found that living conditions were not as wonderful as they had dreamed. Often there were six families crowded into a house made for one. Thousands of children had to go to work. Working conditions were even worse. Immigrant men, women, and children worked in factories for 10 to 12 hours a day, stopping only for a short time to eat. They came to work even if they were tired or sick, because if they didn't, they might be fired. Thousands of people were waiting to take their places. When Peter was 17, he began an apprenticeship in a piano shop. This job was better than his others, for he was learning a trade, but he still worked long hours with low pay. At night, he went to meetings and classes in economics and social issues of the day. One of the main issues of concern pertained to labor conditions. Workers were tired of long hours, low pay, and uncertain jobs. They spoke of organizing themselves into a union of laborers to improve their working conditions. In the spring of 1872, Peter McGuire and 100,000 workers went on strike and marched through the streets of New York City demanding a decrease in the long working day. This event convinced Peter that an organized labor movement was important for the future of workers' rights. He spent the next year speaking to crowds of workers and unemployed people, lobbying the city government for jobs and relief money. It wasn't an easy road for Peter McGuire. He became known as a disturber of the public peace. The city government ignored his demands. Peter himself could not find a job in his trade. He began to travel up and down the East Coast to speak to laborers about unionizing. In 1881, he moved to St. Louis, Missouri, and began to organize carpenters there. He organized a convention of carpenters in Chicago, and it was there that a National Union of Carpenters was founded. He became the general secretary of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America. The idea of organizing workers according to their trade spread around the country. Factory workers, dock workers, and tool makers all began to demand and get their rights to an 8-hour workday, a secure job, and a future in their trades. Peter McGuire and laborers in other cities planned a holiday for workers on the first Monday in September, halfway between Independence Day and Thanksgiving Day. On September 5th, 1882, the first Labor Day parade was held in New York City. I'm Todd Gleason.
A couple of reminders on this Labor Day Monday morning. The Okaw Saddle Club has called off their activities for today in Vandalia. The Coffeen Fire Department is having a Fill the Boot campaign for the Muscular Dystrophy Association. It's being held at the Casey's General Store in Coffeen until 11 this morning. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield.